And what God says to us in Isaiah 55 is, don't miss your moment. While God is moving, seek Him. While His burning presence has drawn near, call on Him. While the angel of the Lord is within your grasp, hold on to Him and don't let go of Him until He blesses you. Beloved, what is happening here is a special visitation from the Lord. It is a divine moment. It is a window of opportunity. Some of you have longed for your whole life to see a move of God. I want to tell you, this is some of that. Three times before in my life, I've had the privilege of being in the middle of mighty moves of God, and I want to tell you, this is one. Don't miss your moment. I don't really know why God picked this moment. I don't know why God picked Mother's Day Sunday to show me His glory, to lay me out for 5 hours on the platform in front of everybody. We have a wonderful Greek brother. He received the Lord at our Good Friday worship celebration at the Palace Theater in Stamford. His life has been wonderfully changed. He's going to give his testimony for a few minutes tomorrow evening. He's wild. But he brought his 83-year-old Greek Orthodox mother to our 10 o'clock service on Sunday morning while I was lying on the floor howling. I don't know why God picked that moment. God, couldn't you have picked another day when there would be less visitors? I don't know why God picked the month of May. This is the time of year that things begin to wind down for us for the summer. It's a busy time of year. There's spring sports going on. There's proms and graduations and weddings, and the weather is nice and vacation season is beginning. This is usually the time of year when the programs that we run all through the year begin to wind down and shut down, and we kind of go into a little rest time for the summer. I don't know why God picked this time. I don't know why He picked the closing prayer of the 8:30 a.m. service. I have to tell you the truth. The moment that God hit me, I really wasn't thinking very spiritual thoughts. I was thinking about Mother's Day presents that were hiding in my office that I had to wrap before we went for lunch after service. And I was wondering how I was going to find time to wrap them without Denise walking in and noticing. I was thinking about a couple that I wanted to invite over to coffee at our house later. And I was thinking about getting done with the 8:30 service so that we could get the 10 o'clock crowd in on time. I don't know why God picked that moment. But I do know why He has come. There are four things that I believe that God has come to do in our lives. The first thing that I believe that God has come near to do is that He has come near to align us with His purposes and His practices. In Isaiah 55, God says, there's a problem. We have a problem here. My thoughts are not aligned with your thoughts. My ways are not aligned with your ways. I am way up here on this plane, and you are way down here on this plane. We are not in alignment, you and I. We are not in sync, you and I. While I may be found, while I'm near, let's get in sync with one another. Let's get aligned with one another. I have come near to call you to come up here with me so that our thoughts and our ways are aligned with one another. Why has He come near now? He's come near to align us with his purposes. The word thoughts here means purposes. It means plans. Your purposes, your plans are not in alignment with my plans. See, God's come near because we haven't been living for the right purposes. Beloved, our purpose is not to please ourselves. Purpose is not to entertain ourselves. Our purpose is not to pursue our own goals and dreams and desires. Our purpose is to worship him. Our purpose is to witness to others. God says here, he says, aren't you tired? Why do you work so hard for things that don't satisfy? Why do you expend so much effort? Why do you expend so much labor? Why do you put so much thought and so much energy to attain things that will never satisfy your soul? Why has he come near now? He's come here to align our purposes with his purposes. He's come to refocus our hearts and our minds. He's come to refocus the things that our minds dwell upon, to refocus the affections of our heart, to shift our values. Why has he come near? To align us with his practices. God says, there's a problem. Your thoughts are not aligned with my thoughts. Your plans, your purposes are not aligned with my plans and purposes. And he says, your ways are not aligned with my ways. The word ways is very interesting in this verse. It's the Hebrew word for footpaths. And footpaths are an idiom for the everyday routines of life. Back in the days of the Bible, people didn't have Nissans. They took the shoe leather express everywhere. And so there was a footpath from your house to the field where you did your work. There was a footpath from your house to the city where you went and you sold your grain. There was a footpath from your house to the backhausen where you went and did, well, you know what you did there. It's an idiom, the footpaths. It's an idiom for the everyday routines of your life. How many of you know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, in all your footpaths, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your highways. That's the way that verse reads in Hebrew. In all the everyday routines, the in and out routines, the ebb and flow of your everyday life, honor him, acknowledge him, worship him, build him into your everyday life, and he will guide the highways of your life, the major decisions, the course, the flow, the direction of your life. God says, your purposes, I've come near because your purposes need to move into alignment with my purposes, and your daily practices need to come into alignment with me. Your daily routines need to honor me. Your daily routines need to change so that it's more beneficial for you. I have come near to you to change you inside and out. Beloved, listen to me. The fruit of falling on the floor and spending time in the presence of the Lord is changed everyday living. I want to tell you something. Already this week, the everyday rhythm and flow of our house has changed because we've been in the presence of the Lord. There's no point in falling to the floor if you get up the same person. The point of falling to the floor is to get up changed forever. You know what happens when you fall on the floor? God does heart surgery. He does open heart surgery. He removes things out of your heart. God says, I'll take away your heart of stone. And I'll give you a heart of flesh. Do you know what God says in Jeremiah? He says that your sins are etched in stone on your heart. The things of your past, the things that you've been through, the things that you've done, the things that have been done to you, they have left markings etched in stone on your heart. But God says, I'll take away your heart of stone and I'll give you a new heart, a heart of flesh. And while you're lying on the floor or worshiping here at the altar or spending time in the presence of the Lord in prayer, what he's doing is he's doing open heart surgery. He's changing the affections of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you new desires in your heart. He's taking away past hurts. The things that you couldn't get rid of. The things that you couldn't get over. The betrayals that cut you so deeply that you just didn't know how to get rid of it, get over it. While you're here, while the Lord is near in his burning presence, he's doing open heart surgery. Do you know what he's doing while you're on the floor? He's doing brain surgery. He's renewing your mind. He is rewiring your brain. He's rerouting the neural pathways on which your thoughts and your emotions travel. See, after you've spent time in the presence of the Lord, after he sat upon you, after his glory has rested on you, you don't think the same way anymore. Your mind doesn't wander away to the same places anymore. It doesn't go to the places that it shouldn't go anymore. Your emotions, your thoughts, and your feelings, they've all been changed. Why has he come near now? He's come near to realign us. He's come near, secondly, to guide us in paths that lead to peace and to joy. See, while you're in the presence of the Lord, while you're basking in his glory, while God is sitting upon you, supernatural wisdom for life is being downloaded to you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. While the weight of his glory is upon you and you're trembling in awe of his presence, God is downloading to you wisdom for life. You see, dumb decisions lead to depression. Bad decisions lead to anxiety. They lead to stress. But God is guiding you in paths, you shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. What's God doing in this season? He's giving us wisdom for relationships. He's giving us wisdom for our marriage. He's giving us wisdom for our parenting. He's giving us wisdom for our friendships. He's giving us wisdom for our finances. He's giving us wisdom for our careers. He's giving us wisdom for even, I believe, our physical health. He's giving us wisdom for our ministry. He's giving us wisdom for our future. What's going to happen on the other side of this visitation of the Lord? You're going to know what to do. You're going to know where to go. You're going to know what the right way is to choose. You're going to hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." Why has he come near? Third thing I believe, he's come near to make us fragrant instead of prickly. That's a good one right there. I can tell that hit home. He's come near to make us fragrant instead of prickly. God says, instead of the thorn bush, we'll grow the pine tree. And instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. The significance of the pine and the myrtle are their fragrance. How many of you get a live Christmas tree every year? How beautiful it is. We go up to Shelton, Connecticut, and we cut down our own tree every year. And when we bring that tree into our house for a day or two or three, that beautiful fragrance of fresh pine, it just fills our whole house. Myrtle is valued, is treasured for its fragrance, and it also is valued for its healing properties. And you see, while you're spending time in the presence of the Lord, you are receiving a personality makeover. This is extreme makeover, personality edition. You're receiving an extreme personality makeover that takes you from being somebody who's prickly to somebody who's fragrant, who smells beautiful, and who has healing properties about their personality. Before this started, some of you were hard to be near. Some of you were prickly. Some of you were hard to live with. Some of you are hard to work with. Some of you are hard to be friends with. Before this started, some of you were perfectionists. You're uptight, rigid. Some of you are critical, sarcastic, sour. Some of you are too nervous, too afraid of everything. Some of you were insensitive. And some of you were too sensitive. And then there's my favorite kind of people, the insensitive, sensitive people. You know what I'm talking about? Does everybody know what I mean when I talk about insensitive, sensitive people? When they deal with others, they are the most insensitive people in the world. But if anybody says a word to them, they are so sensitive about that. Come on, anybody ever know somebody like that? Oh, I think you do. What's the point of all this? Why has God come near to us? Why has he come with a beautiful manifestation of his presence and power and glory into our midst? It's because he wants to change us from people who were prickly, from people who were hard to be near, from people that were hard to get close to people that are fragrant and beautiful and have healing in our presence. I want to tell you something. This visitation from the Lord has already started to change the way that I pastor this church. It's already started to change. My staff is going to be jumping for glory. You know what? The things that I'm normally uptight about, I don't feel so uptight about anymore. It's okay. A sinful woman crashed a dinner party. And she broke a bottle of perfume over the feet of Jesus. The Bible says the fragrance filled the entire house. That horrible, repugnant reputation, her presence about her, that just made her repugnant to all the guests at the dinner when she just lavished her adoration and her worship on Jesus. It changed the fragrance of her whole life. Why has he come? He's come to do something permanent. It says here in Isaiah 53, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. This will be an everlasting sign that will not be destroyed. I don't know how long these meetings will go on. I want to say you're a bunch of animals. We've been here every day since Sunday, and you keep coming back. I don't know how long the meetings will go on, but I do know this. What God is doing in our lives in this season of visitation is something permanent. Come on. It's something that'll last forever. Changes that are happening in us, they're going to stick. They're going to stay. The nightly meetings, they might not last much beyond 3 or 4 years, but the changes that he's come to make are permanent. Why has he come near now? To make his name famous. See, God says, I have made you a witness to the peoples. The Holy One has endowed you with splendor. You will summon people that you do not know. Already this week, we've met all kinds of new friends that we didn't know before. I'm getting Facebook friend requests left and right. I can't even keep up with them all. You will summon people that you do not know, and people that did not know you will run to you. This will be for the Lord's renown. Beloved, listen, I want to tell you something. I don't know everything that God is doing. I don't know everything that he has in his heart. But I want to tell you, I believe that God has started something seismic here this week. And it's not to make a man famous. It's not to make a local church famous. It's not to elevate anybody's ministry. But it's to make Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, famous. Marios, I want to tell you something. My dear friends, Marios and Danielle Ellenis are here from Old Saybrook, Connecticut. Pastor Ellenis is a great man. Pastor Danielle, this is a great man and woman of God. And we're so glad to have them. I want to tell you something. There's a river that runs under this building. It's a natural river. We have hundreds of thousands of dollars buried under the ground in drainage that we had to put in when we built this building. And there's a river that runs under this building. It runs this way. It runs in this direction. And it empties out. There's a pipe straight down the center of this building under the foundation. There's a pipe. And it empties out into the wetland behind us that drains into the drinking water reservoir for New York City. And the water that runs under that building is pure water. We have to have it tested because it empties into the wetland that drains into the reservoir of drinking water for New York City. And so a man came in one day with a glass and he said, "You know, I just want to tell you something." He said, "I want you to know that pure water runs out from underneath this building." On Sunday morning, while I was lying here incapacitated, we had several calls on Monday morning from people who said, "Why didn't they threw a gold tablecloth over me?" It was a big one, and we had calls on Monday morning to the church office. They said, "Why didn't you remove that howling woman off of the platform? She was distracting the speaker." It was me. But while I was lying here, groaning and wailing, I saw in the spirit floodgates that weren't being opened. The floodgates were being obliterated. The floodgates were being just blown to pieces, destroyed. And I saw an enormous amount of water, like Niagara Falls, running down right here from the altar and running across the platform and down the steps and down the center aisle and going that way. And Pastor Ken Gott was talking about the river of God. And I thought that he was talking about the river of God because I had told him that there was a river running under this building, but he had forgotten all about it. He was just sharing what the Spirit had for him. So on Monday, I was asking the Holy Spirit, I said, "Lord, there's a natural river running this way, and I saw in the Spirit a river running this way. What does it mean?" And the Holy Spirit said to me that this thing is going to go both ways. It's going to go north. It's coming to Old Saybrook, Connecticut. It's coming to New London, Connecticut. It's coming to Groton, Connecticut. It's coming to Providence, Rhode Island. It's coming to Boston. It's coming to New Hampshire. It's coming to Vermont. It's coming to Maine. It's going that way, and it's going that way. It's going to Queens, and it's going to Brooklyn, and it's going to Manhattan, and it's going to Staten Island, and it's going to go to New Jersey. How many of you know New Jersey really needs Jesus? It's going in both directions. I don't know why God picked this time, but I do know why God has come near. He has come near to make his name famous in the earth. So what should we do? What should we do while he's near? Got to wrap it up, but listen real quick. What should we do while he's near? First of all, while he's near, we should come. Seek the Lord while he may be found. That word seek, oh, it's another really curious word. Do you know what it means? It means to beat a path. It means to walk over the same place back and forth so many times that you beat a path, you tread a path down. Seek the Lord while he may be found, while he may be found. Beat a path to where he is. It means to frequent a place. It means to keep coming back again and again and again and again. While he may be found, seek him. Keep coming back to where he is. I don't know how long this visitation will last, but as long as he's here, let's keep coming here. Seek the Lord while he may be found. I like that word, seek. You know what it means? It means to come with your demands. Ha! Come with your demands. Come on. While he's near, come and tell him, God, you must save my children. God, you must save my family. God, you must change my life. God, you must intervene. God, you must save my city. God, you must save my state. God, you must save New England. It means to keep coming back again and again and again and come with your demands. Isaiah 55 opens with the word come 5 times. Come, 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 come. Come, 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 come. Come, 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 come. Seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord while he may be found. Come and keep coming again and again and again. What should we do while he's near? Secondly, listen. 3 times. Listen, listen, listen. It says in the opening of Isaiah 55, beloved, while the Holy Spirit is ministering to you, listen, because he wants to speak to you in a sweet, beautiful voice. While I was lying here on the floor for 5 hours, it was funny because I was very tuned into some things and completely oblivious. I wasn't in a trance. I wasn't in pain. I wasn't having a nervous breakdown. I was having a Holy Ghost breakthrough. And my ear was tuned in, especially to particular things. I could sense the delight and the pleasure of the Lord in certain things that I was hearing. Listen, while the Holy Spirit is ministering to you, listen. Third thing is eat. Manja. What should we do while he's near? Eat, eat, eat. I like this passage. This is getting better all the time. Eat, eat. Eat. It says 3 times in the opening of Isaiah 55. Manja, manja, manja. Eat, eat, eat. I want to tell you something, beloved. These are gatherings for the hungry. Only the hungry would come on Monday night and on Tuesday night and on Wednesday night. And you're here again on Thursday night. Some of you are watching on live streaming. You couldn't make it out here, but you tuned in on the internet because you're hungry. Listen, come to receive from the Lord. Come to feast on his presence. Come to taste him. Don't come to speculate. Don't come to spectate. Come to eat. come to taste and see. You know, I saw some Facebook comments. They kind of grieved me a little bit because some people heard about what's going on. They said, oh, I got to go see what's going on there. No. Don't come to see. If you want to see, just stay home and watch on the internet live stream. Don't take somebody else's seat. I want you to only come if you're hungry. I only want you to come if you want to receive what it is that God has for you. Come to eat. And finally this. What should we do while God is near? We should shout out to Him. So you can tell I've been doing a lot of that this week. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. That word call, it means shout out loud. It means cry out to Him for help. Listen to me. While He's in this place, some of you need to go hoarse, calling out on what you need from Him. I'm going to close with this. We're going to be moved to ministry time. There was a blind man named Bartimaeus. Who was sitting by a road begging. And when he heard that Jesus was passing by, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The crowd told him, shut up, be quiet, settle down over there. Listen to me, beloved. There are people who will not like your shout. There are people who will not like your dance. There are people who will not like your flags. They won't like your moves in the mosh pit. There are people who won't like your bowing and your bending and your kneeling and your shivers and your shills and your shakes. That's all right. Don't you let them shut up. Wow. He is near. Call on Him. Call on Him. Shout. And if they tell you to be quiet, shout louder. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. How many of you want to do a little bit of that tonight? Stand on your feet right now. Come on, let's just begin to worship Him right now. Let's just begin to love on Jesus right now. Come on, church. Let's just begin to love on Him right now. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He's near. Come on, Pastor Danny. Come on, Elizabeth. Let's go. Thank you, Jesus.
My heart, Lord, stir it up in my heart, Lord. stir it up in my heart, a passion for your name. Stir it up in my heart, Lord. Stir